Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm excited because we're going for our first ever post-work drinks.
It's exciting, isn't it?
That sounds like, oh, okay, because they've just moved into the studio and they're there for 4 days. It's the first ever post-work drinks in the new studio. Incorrect. This is literally the first ever post-work drinks in the year and a half that Luke's worked here.
Yep.
And the 2-3 years that I've been here.
It is indeed.
Because where the old studio used to be was a nightmare to get to. And there weren't any nice places to go.
There was a pub, but it is not one I would want to frequent.
No. But now, I'm on public transport and, you know, everywhere's beautiful around here.
But where are we going, Ollie Davis?
We're going to Four Quarters.
Yes.
In Stratford, which is 5 minutes from our office.
Are we calling it Stratford?
If you go over that river, you're in Stratford.
Really?
Yeah, that's why you've got Stratford Westfield and Stratford Velodrome. Hackney over here.
I just didn't know it was like that much of a divide.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all that stuff is Stratford.
Hmm, interesting.
Here he's... I'm feeling less confident. But, okay, we're going across the canal.
Yes.
It's a 5-minute walk. It is a retro video game bar.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's like someone designed a place for Luke to go.
And Laurie.
Yeah, but I feel like it's more for you.
I'm very excited. If you're wondering what those clicking sounds are, I've just copied across a CD to my iTunes account because apparently I am 2003.
Well, in the spirit of Raw, in the spirit of, you know, current day Raw, we're just being
I see what you're saying. Right, I'm with you now. Right, this comes in from Gavin McManus, an embarrassing wrestling story. Hello, Luke and Ollie. I personally love your podcast as I don't often get to watch all of Raw and SmackDown, and you're both very good at summarizing the WWE shows. I'd even consider your reviews better than the actual show. My embarrassing story happened in the summer of 2016 when I was obsessed about becoming a wrestler. I'd spent hours on my trampoline wrestling a teddy bear for a plastic WWE title world toy. One day I had the bright idea to go all in. What I mean by that is dress like a wrestler. I put on tight underpants, skateboard knee pads, and used bandages as the wrist tape. I put excess on the bandage because I was a massive CM Punk fan, and I went outside to my trampoline. I was in the middle of suplexing my teddy through a table, a cushion, when I heard my house gate open. I looked up to see my uncle walk through the gate, staring at me, half naked, holding a teddy bear. I quickly hid behind the teddy bear as I heard him ask, "What are you doing?" I awkwardly laughed as I struggled to choose what to say. Luckily, he asked, was I sunbathing? And I just nodded as he walked into the house. Most of my awkward moments of my life. Thank you for listening. Keep up the consistent work, Gavin McManus.
Oh, I feel your pain, Gavin. Because it's one thing if a parent walks in, but an uncle is like, it's another one closer to a randomer off the street.
Yes.
Who just walks in and sees you. And they're more likely to bully you, I think, than your own parents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Completely agree, yes. Quick one here from JP's Gaming, Joseph Parr. I'm writing to talk about my first ever creator wrestler. His name was Justice. His finishing moves were called the Injustice. It was a Canadian Destroyer and the Name of the Law. It was an ankle lock, and he was considered pretty crap compared to my latest ones. P.S. The first thing I'm going to do when I find a job is become a pledge hammer. Thank you for the rambling. Stay swapped, Joseph Parr.
Thank you. I feel like that's a thematically confused creator wrestler. Like, I wouldn't I wouldn't call it Injustice. He wouldn't, like, why would someone called Justice call their finisher Injustice?
Yeah.
The Law one makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, yeah. I think I've got to agree with you. Yeah, on
that's
that
an
one.
Embarrassing story. You should be. Thank God our uncles aren't here to hear that.
Right, let's crack on with the main show. We are doing our Bound for Glory predictions, and then we've got your crap gimmicks and your mailbags. Here's the show. Yeah, so it's Bound for Glory this Sunday, but tomorrow, in fact. I'm really looking forward to this show.
Yes.
I really, really liked Slammiversary. I thought Slammiversary, top to bottom, T to B, was a great show.
As was Redemption.
Yes.
What was it, Redemption? Yeah, that was the... Whatever the show was before Slammiversary, with that great OVE versus Eddie Edwards Moose and Tommy Dreamer match.
Yeah, yeah, really, really good stuff.
And Pentagon and Ares as well.
That is, yes, yeah, that's the one where Pentagon won the belt. So, yeah, some really, really good stuff on this card. So let's dive in and see what we've got. There's six matches as well, which we were talking about this. I think we're so conditioned to the way that WWE book shows with their 15-match cards over 4 hours that when we read that there's only six matches, we went, it's got to be a mistake. There's something wrong with this.
They've only announced six matches, and this is the go-home week.
What a terrible idea this is. But actually, now I think about it, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is lovely stuff.
It was like 6 to 8 matches is how pay-per-views or match cards are usually run.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours. You give everyone about half an hour. That's including entrances and video packages.
Yep.
And you get 15 to 20 minutes of actual wrestling.
Lovely stuff. Oh, so let's kick off then
with
Matt Sydal and Ethan Page versus Rich Swann and TBA. So mystery partner for Richard Swann.
Vacant.
Could be vacant. I mean, I suppose really this is just like, you know, get people on the card, get a fun opener, because this will be a fun, like, tag match
definitely.
Opener.
What are you thinking? Especially Sydal and Swann in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are you thinking?
Well, I must admit, Impact sometimes for me is like NXT, where I don't watch the week to week, and it kind of drops out of existence in my head sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But then a pay-per-view happens, or an NXT takeover, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing, I should do this all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what these... I know what the main storylines are. I'm sorry to say, I don't know these storylines. So I'm just going to go for my boy Rich Swann.
As am I.
And my even bigger boy, Vacant.
Yeah, I'm also going for Rich and Vacant.
Big
also,
fan of Vacant.
I would also say as well, when you have a surprise, the surprise is usually there to win. You remember, or like a replacement? You know, they always say like a replacement's bound to win. Coming up next is Tessa Blanchard versus Taya Valkyrie for the Impact Knockout Championship.
This is an interesting one. So yeah. Blanchard is the champion at the moment. I hadn't seen a great deal of her, but she was so good at All in that women's four-way. But Taya Valkyrie, I've actually seen a lot of, because... The AAA had the English commentary done very close to where we used to work. And when I say very close, I mean through the next room with a glass panel in.
Where we used to record the old Wrestle Ramble set was where AAA commentary was recorded.
That was the same VO booth. So
yes.
I'm very familiar with Valkyrie. And she's, you know, she's very, very good. She's considered as one of the legends of AAA. And she's the real-life wife of Johnny Impact. Yeah. Johnny Impact is making his return into Impact... Because he wasn't Johnny Impact for a bit. He was just Johnny whatever.
In Impact, he is Johnny Impact. But elsewhere, he is Johnny Mundo or what have you. As Austin Aries would call him, Johnny Jack of all trades, master of none.
It's just, I'm such a big fan of consistency. And this is not a consistent name.
It is really not.
And I think, I get what he's doing. And you just become like the generic guy... But the generic top guy for each promotion because you've got the promotion in your last name. I don't like it.
No,
I'm
massively not keen on it either. Yeah. But we'll save that for
for
actually his match.
So, well, it ties in because I don't think, spoiler, I don't think Johnny's winning the title here in the main event. So to have like this power couple come in and they both lose title matches, I think that's, you know, you don't really want to do that. So I think Taya's going to go over... Because Su Yung is going to somehow interfere in this match Agel Soo Young.
Yes. I am actually going the other way. I'm going for a Tessa Blanchard retention. I've actually just written Valkyrie. This is why you do the typing. My reason for that is I think the Impact are really, really high on Tessa at the moment. Like, she's come into the company, won the belt like almost instantaneously. And I think, you're absolutely rightly so. Like, she's such an imposing figure. She looks fantastic. She's got such a great look, a great presence about her. And I think that she's almost like a great face for your division. Not baby face, but certainly a good face for your division.
But it's like, do you want to go for the face, or do you want to have her on the chase?
Or is
the
she
undeserving?
I mean, I don't know, because like I just think that I think that they're so high on Tessa Blanchard at the moment, and it's almost too early to take the belt off of her. So I'm going with a Tessa Blanchard retention. That's where I'm sticking. Coming up next, we've got.
I kind of want to lose. Because our new haircuts are quite itchy.
I was going to say, you're not enjoying the new haircut. I mean, I've not really been enjoying it that much.
I love the way it looks, but to wear it for a while would be a...
Yeah.
Yeah. We're the king of the punishments on YouTube. Wrestle Talk does the best punishment, the most savage punishments anywhere on YouTube.
So...
outrageous.
So... we actually got this, like, when we do our, like, ask us anything in the comments and we'll reply to them in our news episode. Someone did ask us, like, why don't you do punishments anymore? It's like, because really, it just makes your predictions videos redundant and pointless.
We do the most savage punishments. That's why we're doing hair versus hair versus hair.
My answer, aside from the fact that obviously we are doing the brutal hair versus hair versus hair.
Savage.
I'd also say it's because we're rubbish at doing punishments and things like that. Do you remember when we went through a run of about 4 months where we kept saying, like, oh, there's a punishment, and then we just never did it?
Yeah, because, well, we were quite a small team and we didn't actually have the resources to film those punishments. Plus, like, we like each other. I think all the Coldaholic guys hate each other, and this is just a way to vent their sexual frustration that's boiling in the office between them all.
Also, and I get that it's a punishment, you're not supposed to like it, but I just don't want to do them. Apart from, obviously, the hair versus hair versus
which
hair.
Which is the most savage thing
anyone and could
now,
possibly do.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling us now the big punishment channels. So.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally see why.
I think it was written in the Wrestling Observer newsletter that the title's now switched hands, and now we are known as the biggest punishment guys.
Most savage.
Yeah. Absolutely, punishment. Coming up next, it's the former best friends fighting against each other. It's not a women's match in WWE. It's Eddie Edwards versus Moose.
So this is like, this is, because you've been given a reason to care about Moose and Eddie as best friends,
mm-hmm.
and then they seemed like friends. They weren't just Nia Jax needs a way to come back from injury,
mm-hmm.
so Ember Moon is going to reintroduce her, and now they're bezzies.
Yeah.
But there was no indication of that beforehand.
Bestie for business.
Besties for best.
Anyway, Eddie Edwards versus Moose, what are your thoughts? Actually, I mean, I'll go first on this one. So Moose obviously had the heel turn. He's now aligned himself with Austin Aries.
He's really good.
He's very good as a heel.
I like him as a heel. Yeah. I never thought I would say that, because Moose is one of those perennial baby faces for me.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun with him at Wrestling MediaCon when he came to film some stuff with us, because he's essentially just punished you now that he is a heel, and it was just really fun working with him on that, because I wasn't the one that was pulling the weights.
Savage.
And I think so. Eddie's very good. We saw him at MediaCon, and he was just awesome in that match. Really, really, really great. And I'm torn on this one, but I think I'm going to go with Edwards. I'm going to go with an Eddie Edwards win. What are you saying?
I because this is like the first pay-per-view of the Aries Moose Cross faction. So I don't really want them to lose at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Moose.
Okay.
Also, I love Eddie Edwards. I adore, like, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards as the American Wolves. Not in Impact, but in ROH back in, like, 2010 or whatever it was such a big part of me really getting into, like, really obsessively back into wrestling as an adult. And obviously Eddie's amazing in the ring, but I'm not really into the whole jeans look.
Yeah.
But it's not just the jeans look, it's the larger character. I'm like, well done for trying to shake something up, but for me, the thing is shaken up wasn't broken, and this isn't as good. So yeah, but Moose has shaken it up and very much succeeded. Definitely Moose for me.
So you're saying you want him to be Eddie Edwards, not Tommy Dreamer, because that's essentially what he has become. Tommy Dreamer in 2018. Right, coming up next is the match that I think I'm probably most excited about on this whole card. It's Ohio versus Everything. Dave and Jake Crist with our friend Sammy Callahan versus Phoenix Pentagon Jr., the Lucha Brothers, and the very big man, Brian Cage, the X Division champion. So no X Division championship match on this show because Brian is in this six-man tag. And this is a... You wrote it down, but you haven't got your notes with you. But it's an Ohio Death Street fight.
No, I think you're thinking of the LAX match.
Has this not got a gimmicked title to it as well?
Concrete
Jungle. I know that's got the Concrete Jungle match. I thought this was a... I thought this also had a gimmicked name.
I'm pretty sure it's just going to be blood everywhere.
Oh, I mean,
that's
absolutely
the gimmick.
Yeah. The
blood
gimmick
everywhere.
Lots of blood.
So we watched this big video package, like it's a half hour long recap thing.
20 minutes of which was for Johnny Impact and Austin Aries.
And man, I'm really hyped for this pay-per-view, and this...
It's an OVE rules match, I knew it had a gimmick.
OVE rules. And this is, like, one of the chief reasons why, because Callahan, for me, has stolen every Impact pay-per-view. Like, he is the Tommaso Ciampa of Impact.
Yeah.
And everyone always comes away talking about him. It was Callahan and Edwards, that feud from Redemption in that six-man tag. It was Callahan and Pentagon... Sacrifice.
Slammiversary.
I knew it was an S one. And now I think it's going to be here as well.
And
this is going to be
Pentagon
chaos.
Phoenix as well. The other show
my
as
God,
well. Like,
yeah.
Amazing stuff.
And
so,
Callahan and Phoenix had that great TV match.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm super looking forward to this. I've totally turned a corner on Sammy Callahan this year. He's become one of like my favorite guys in wrestling. Not just because like he's a big fan of us. It's just, he's such an amazing heel. He's so incredible. You and I, when we did the review of that six-man tag match, and actually when we did the review of the Pentagon match from Slammiversary for Ramble Club's Patreon podcast, you and I just could not stop talking about how, like, he might be the best heel in professional wrestling.
Yeah, like pure heel.
Like,
yeah.
Pure heel. He is easy, like, in the top two or three, like, heels in the world.
It's him and Ciampa.
It's him and Ciampa,
and
really.
Like Jay White has entered in the top 10. Jay White's just entered. I don't know who the others are. Make a list video.
Perhaps, yeah.
But make the best list videos on YouTube as well. Now.
Yeah, that's what we also do. Yeah. But I'm also a massive, massive fan of the Lucha Brothers. In particular, yeah. Pentagon Jr. I think Penta is absolutely awesome. He's so, so good. And Phoenix moves like no one else in this world. Like, he's just so bendy and flippy, and it's incredible.
I feel like Phoenix gets a short stick of it because he's so good.
I know.
But I don't... Pentagon has something.
Yeah.
Like, he has something that elevates him beyond...
He's got zero S.
...incredibly talented.
And he's got zero fear to
he's
give.
He's got zero fears. And, Phoenix is incredible.
Yeah.
And Brian Cage is just... I mean, I'm pretty sure I had him as an action figure when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Time Traveling Ollie gave that to young Ollie.
Yeah. El Fakador brilliantly described him. Like, so we were watching this video package, and it was a clip of him doing a big flip dive over the ropes. And Laurie described it as an airplane off a short runway.
Yeah.
Like, it was... He's such a large man, and yet he flies really, really well. It's an impressive sight is old Brian Cage. But who are you going with in this OVE rules match, aside from There Will Be Blood?
Okay, so OVE don't win a lot in pay-per-view. So those two I've spoken about, they lost the first...
And Callahan lost to Phoenix.
And Callahan
well.
Lost to Pentagon.
And Phoenix.
And Phoenix. But, like, OVE is such a good act. Like, they're one of those acts that isn't harmed... By losing, at least now, for me, that maybe that will change, because if you keep beating people, you get the Wyatt family. OVE, because that they should get a win by now, really.
I'm also going for OVE in this one. And as I said, like, this is the match I'm most looking forward to on this show.
LAX versus OGs.
That's what we're coming to next. It's the Latin American Exchange, LAX, Santana Ortiz and Conan stepping into an Impact Wrestling ring for the first time in 10 years.
Hopefully he throws a shoe. Who throws a shoe?
Honestly.
For people who are not familiar, Conan used to throw his shoes in matches back in the day.
We recently, for Wrestle Ramble Extra, reviewed TNA Unbreakable 2005, which was featured the three live crew in the opening match, which was Conan with Road Dogg and Kay Quick, Ron the Truth Killings, R-Truth. And
Sounds like there were just three men in there.
There so many people. Yeah. It was like, and it was... And it was brilliant because it was Conan throwing shoes. And it's like put over this massive thing that he throws a shoe. He's bound to throw a shoe. He's not bound for glory. He's bound for shoes.
He's a unit.
He's a unit as well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see him wrestle. But there's going to be so many smoke and mirrors in this.
Like, I haven't finished the match yet, though. It is LAX, Santana Ortiz and Conan versus the OGs, Homicide, Hernandez and King.
I think of all these in terms of backstage segments, of which some have been inspired and others are sort of going into that more goofy style. But I guess if you see this feud as a telenovela soap opera thing, which I think is what they're going for.
Yeah.
Well done. Like, that's exactly what you've created.
I think they think it's The Sopranos, though.
I mean, you get the... hopefully they don't think that.
We look at it as Days of Our Lives.
I used to work on a telenovela channel.
Did you?
Yeah. It was one of the things. Not just managing the transmission of it. Nothing behind the scenes. But they're fast. They have a huge crime element to it. Like, it's... You know, like, we've got EastEnders.
I take it back then. Okay.
We've got EastEnders. They'll have, like... freaking FBI shootouts at funerals. The most telenovela thing I'd ever seen was an estranged couple having a shootout over a coffin at a funeral that was being lowered, and eventually they end up kissing.
You sure that wasn't an Eli Roth movie?
No, that was this telenovela, and then at the end they did the end credits, and because like this was a long running one that I'd only just seen. And the end credits had all this stuff going on. I was like, what? Is this just this episode? Or is this just the standard credits thing? And it ends with a lady in a wheelchair going down a hill into a stream. So, anyway. They've created a crime telenovela.
Yeah.
And like they've done that very well, I think, to stay true to that. Especially if you're going for that audience as well.
Yeah.
But for me, when it pays off as a wrestling match, I think there's a... For me, that doesn't quite work because you've said this is goofy and...
Yeah, it is. I'm in agreement with you. I think some of the stuff they've done is very, very good. Like, I really enjoyed like the sort of fighting on the street. But then when it's like they run over a kid, and then you have like the crime syndicates.
I like the crime syndicate.
I like the let's call it ceasefire. It's just like these sort of like caricatures sitting there with their drinks in a bar and just being like, "We want you to have a ceasefire."
Oh, I like that bit.
I don't know. For me, it's very much on that border.
I like it, but then I'm like, "Oh, well, now you've got to have a match," and that's where it gets weird.
I don't mind that. Oh, okay. I don't really mind that bit. But it's almost like, do you remember the Honest trailer for Pacific Rim, where they were like, it borders the line so well on like, this is awesome and this is so dumb. Like, these, I think, like, we're right on the border with this. And my other concern, I suppose, I have about this match, and this was what happened at Slammiversary as well, is that a Concrete Jungle Death Match and the OVE Rules match will more or less be the same thing. And I think that the LAX and OG's match from SummerSlam, from Slammiversary...
From Sacrifice,
ended up getting overshadowed because of the Pentagon-Sammy Callahan match that came after it. Because it was like directly afterwards. And which is a shame, because that LAX-OG's match was absolutely awesome. And my worry is this one just going to get overshadowed again with the OVE Rules match?
Usually, I'd agree. If this was a WWE pay-per-view, it's like, why are you putting on five Hell in a Cell matches back-to-back?
Mm-hmm.
But Impact have proven themselves to me. Like, they've got a track record of this, of putting, like, these killer matches next to each other with kind of similar hardcore stipulations, and me loving it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say I'm all for it. And, you know, if a match overshadows your match because that's really good and your match is really good too, I've got no problem with everyone trying to have great matches.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I've got nothing to say. Nothing against that, absolutely. Yeah. But who are you saying with LAX and the OGs?
I've got to go with the OGs because I was just so impressed with them in the Jody Fleisch, Johnny Storm match that we saw live.
That was LAX.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. LAX, I mean LAX. I got...
Okay.
My mind went...
You went the other way.
Yeah,
yeah. You went
the wrong thing.
You said the original LAX.
Yes.
Well, that's what you were thinking of. I mean, I'm also going with LAX in this. I've really enjoyed Homicide and Hernandez coming back as as the original LAX, and it's been as really, because I was such a mark for LAX back in the day, back in the old TNA days. So it's been really awesome seeing them, and I love Hernandez.
Mm.
Big Super Mex, big fan of his. But I think this is really going to boil down to Conan versus King. They did that great angle where they burned Conan's mask. And I think this is going to come down to Conan King and probably Conan winning via shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The steel shoe. I can't remember if I said it. Eddie Kingston is superb.
Mm.
Like, just...
He's really good in this role. Yeah, yeah. And in our main event, it is the aforementioned Johnny Impact challenging for the Impact World Championship against Austin Aries with the stipulation that Moose and Cross will not be at ringside.
So is that a stipulation or is that just Aries saying that's his word?
Well, I mean, it's written here in our document that's what it is. But
I wrote that
did
down.
Did you write that down?
Yeah, that was me. Because
okay.
That's what he said in a promo, which to me says... They're totally getting... Like, I think Aries... This match will be structured with Aries and Impact trying to beat each other fairly. And Aries just won't be able to do it. And he'll get in trouble. And that's when he'll break. And he'll call the guys down and they interfere. And Aries retains.
You're going with Austin Aries?
Yeah, I said that earlier.
Yeah.
I don't think Impact's winning.
I'm actually going for Impact.
No.
I think I'm actually going to go with J-Boy.
I think you're trying to lose.
No, I think that... It's, I don't know, man. Like, they're really, because Johnny Impact, he didn't win the big one last year. It almost feels like that's the story they're telling. It's like he didn't do it last year, so he is going to do it this year. And that's just, it feels like that's the story we're telling here.
He's bound for glory.
Yeah, and but I don't know if Impact is staying around, the Johnny Impact, not the TV show, is staying around for, or the company, is staying around for a long period of time. But I just feel like this is, I almost feel like this is Impact's time to win. But that's...
I think we should start saying Johnny, because it just does make...
Johnny. This is why it doesn't work.
Yeah.
This is why I don't think it's a very good name. Why stick with Johnny Mundo? That's fine.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's those are things. They're the predictions.
We did them good. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's time for your crap gimmicks. If you're wondering what the heck is a crap gimmick, crap gimmick is a section we do here every single Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble where you, the SWAF Nation, submit to us your crap gimmick submissions for crap gimmick wrestling, and then we decide if we want to sign them or not to crap gimmick wrestling. What's a crap gimmick, I hear you ask? Well, we like to think of it as that old WWF mentality of you are a wrestler and a blank, or you could be more abstract than that and just something that's a bit rubbish and could be, you know, a lot of fun. So here we are, our first submission is, if you want to send them in, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. That's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. It's crap gimmick wrestling or CGW submission.
That is, you've taken the Michael Cole route of promotion there.
Well, that's because you have to, because otherwise they get messages like, where do you send them? Where do I send them?
Well, that's that they're filtering out their rubbish submissions.
And we do have a massive backlog of them, currently over 250 submissions at the moment. So I'm in the middle of July in terms of where we are at the moment.
Well, it's a hot summer.
It's currently October. So this one comes in from Web Death. He says, greetings, Luke and Ollie. Web Death here from the United States. I have for you The Boxer. First of all, there would be teaser promos where you would see on the Titantron-like screens how the Boxer is coming to deliver pain. Soon, with these words on a brown-coloured background. The announcers would be baffled about who this person is, except for one announcer who would be talking him up like, oh yeah, no, I know this guy, he's great. I've seen him on YouTube, you just wait and see. He's going to deliver some awesome results. Then they would start to show interview segments of a 25-year-old looking man, clean-shaven, with an average but short haircut. Nothing stands out. Each of the interview shots would only be showing the Boxer from the neck up. Finally, when the night arrives for his first match, he would come out to no music. The full description of the Boxer would be an average build man wearing a brown shirt and brown pants with brown socks and brown shoes. Think a UPS delivery man carrying a box to the ring with a signing sheet of some kind. Most of the announcers would be extremely confused, asking, who's this guy? Where's the Boxer? And that one announcer who's been promoting him going like, how silly are you? That is the Boxer.
My head hurts. It's making my head hurt.
So he has this whole thing about, like, he would start off by handing them the box and they would have to require to sign for this box. If the box is able to get some offense in, he would usually go to the top rope for his semi-finisher, the flying package, which would be a flying neck breaker that would transition to a small package pin attempt. For his actual finisher, the Boxer would use a guillotine choke that he would rename Stuffing the Box. After the match, he would straighten up his clothes, grab his signing list, then proceed to run up the ramp at a sprint, always complaining about being late for his next delivery.
That's really good. You got me. You got me there.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that delivery.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going for a boxer who fights in the ring, like a combat athlete. Yeah.
And I'll be honest. So when I was because obviously I read through all the submissions. If your submission doesn't get selected or doesn't make it through, it's no, you know, no offense to anyone. It's just that
it wasn't good enough.
It essentially boils down to. And I was reading through this one, and often at times when people start booking stories for them, I start to drift off a little bit. And then, but this one really got me.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Nice word.
And I laughed out loud.
I mean, it's quite because delivery people have a very tough job. That is a very thankless job, mm-hmm. like especially with Amazon and, you know, Deliveroo and people getting attacked on mopeds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they are kind of annoying when they don't leave stuff where you tell them to, and they won't post stuff through your letterbox even though it fits, and you have to go and collect it from the post office the next day. Which puts me out.
Ollie recently had to go and do this because his copy of White Dwarf, which would have fit through his letterbox, was not put through the letterbox.
Yeah.
And why wasn't it not put through the letterbox?
Because they put it in a box.
Yeah.
They put it in a box. It was just a
magazine. And the box was too big for your letterbox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That isn't the delivery guy's fault. Anyway, so what I'm saying is...
It's Games Workshop's fault, what
the
you're saying.
The boxer character, he could, like, you know, he'd... The guy... Their opponent would come down to the ring, but they'd only find a note. Sorry, we missed you. You couldn't rearrange this match online.
Yeah.
Or, you can collect it in 48 business hours.
Oh, that's very good, yeah. Or we'll have a match at the post office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's loads of gimmick matches you can do around the boxer as well. There's, like, his specific rules.
I like that.
Next is from Campbell Alan Granger, sent on July 15th. Lou Pine. Lou Pine is a skinny, ineffectual jobber. Think early days James Ellsworth. He never wins a single match and is used as a punching bag by the heels. Nevertheless, he's a nice chap and a typical underdog. He's also hairier than your dad. However, Lou just happens to be a werewolf. And any show that takes place during a full moon, he would come out in his wolf form. This will be actually a different wrestler wearing a wolf mask, so he's all jacked up and strong as hell. In werewolf form, Lou is undefeated and heels get their comeuppance at his hand. Indeed, when the GM tells a heel that he's facing Lou, his face will either glow in delight as an easy win or turn dark at the thought of the beating he'll receive. His theme music is Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran, but if he's a wolf, it's Of Wolf and Man by Metallica. He finishes off his opponent with a full moonsault. When he tries as a human, it's a waning moonsault and it doesn't quite connect.
He could be our big dog.
Yeah.
Couldn't he? That's
good. A literal big dog, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, two strong submissions thus far.
Oh, man.
Well, here, see if Jacob Simmons from July 16th can top that. Dear Luke and Ollie, I have been a crap gimmick fan since day one and have finally plucked up the courage to submit my own idea. Let's hope it's worth the wait. Her name is Crystal Ball, and she dresses like your stereotypical fairground palm reader. Long, billowing cloak, a veil, and of course, a crystal ball which she uses to see into the future. She starts life in crap gimmick wrestling as a manager, helping wrestlers who are down on their luck turn their careers around by correctly predicting their opponent's moves before they make them. She stands at ringside during her clients' matches and tells them to do based on what she sees in her crystal ball. Because of her amazing ability to always predict the future of matches, she quickly becomes one of the most popular and coveted managers in the promotion, something she is delighted with. However, a few months into our run, Crystal's reign on top comes under threat by a new manager, Clairvoyant, who is also a psychic. Claire claims that she can read the future much clearer than Crystal and interferes in her clients' matches without them realize to discredit Crystal and steal her customers. Eventually, the two psychics become so enraged at one another that they are booked in a crystal ball on a pole match. However, the match is so very teaser-bear because both women can predict what the other is going to do, so the match is entirely counters and reversals.
Very good. Like it when you start with a pun and you work your way back.
Yep.
So Clairvoyant got me going there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a strong week.
It's very strong
and
week.
And we've got
Lupine
and the boxer. So this is like that. What you've done there is you've booked a story with two characters.
It's a new short run thing.
Yeah, rather than an actual character that we can really run with. And I don't like ones where they always... We get quite a few of these in different guises where it's they know what the other person's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha ha. I don't think there's much mileage in that.
Yes.
So I'm fortunately going to say no to that. Man, but Boxer or Pine?
Do you want both?
No, I want Boxer.
Yeah, you don't want Lupine?
I think Boxer's... Oh, Pine's good,
though. Pine's very good. Let's just sign both of them.
We can't. No, that's the point. It's a game.
It's a game that we made up. We can change the rules.
We've got to stick to the rules. Okay. It means more. If we can't just have everyone getting signed.
Oh, man, I wish I'd saved Lupine. Then I'd have done him in a different week. Actually, I'd have done him in last week. Last week's wasn't as strong.
You know what? As much as I love the boxer...
There's more mileage in Lupine.
Like, Lupine is essentially plus Finn Balor.
You said you could do two trading cards as well.
Yeah. Or on the back.
Yeah.
Or
a holographic one.
Yeah, one that changes.
Yeah.
I'm sure our artist, Lewis Tillett, has the resources to do that and print them for everyone who wants one.
Yeah.
We need a Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Lupine it is.
Lupine. Congratulations.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave your question there in our wicked cool community section. This one comes in from Marcel Drura, who gets in touch with us quite a bit on Twitter as well. He says, "Hi, my favorite podcasters. No matter if we liked Hell in a Cell, we can all agree it was a lengthy show. And let's be honest, so are all WWE pay-per-views in recent time. So we can all agree we don't need longer pay-per-views, longer Raw episodes, or more special events like the overload they're having right now. But a problem that I see is there's so much talent wasted. Names like Finn Balor, The Bar, The Revival, Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka, The Usos, Ember Moon, Bobby Roode, Bray Wyatt..." He's written Levin Owens, I think he means Kevin Owens, "and Bobby Lashley are all names that would make a huge impact for shows like All In, but didn't have anything to do on the pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell, and in some cases don't have a pay-per-view match in a long, long time. Since there is no big release wave this year, the WWE roster is stacked with potential, but mostly misbooked main eventers, and with the talent pool in NXT, the numbers are just going to grow. My question is, what is the solution? Would a mass release be actually a good thing for the current state of the indie scene? Should WWE open another brand? They would have to have enough people to fill the roster. Should certain people simply ask for their release and look for opportunities elsewhere?" It's from Marcel.
It's a big question, Marcel.
Yeah, really is.
WWE is the greedy kid on the playground with the richest parents. And he's not only... Well, he can't make any of his own toys like you do. So he comes around and buys yours up.
Yeah.
And now he has all the toys and... You know, eventually there's going to come a point where the indies can't generate talent
quick enough,
because it's not just NXT. You've got NXT UK. I'm sure they'll open up other territories like that. And that's so just going to soak up more people. So, like, we are in danger of... And as soon as performers go to WWE, they become, you know, like Laurie said earlier, what did he say? Brainwashing training is essentially NXT, where all that cool stuff you were doing outside, you make it more like our way.
Yeah.
And, you know, that fits the house style, but it does lose, you know, elements of individuality, which were so appealing outside of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So, God, as an answer, I don't think... The other problem is, it's not like WWE uses its best wrestlers. It's got lots of... subpar wrestlers up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just look at the women's division and all the legends they've brought back. And Baron Corbin, although I enjoy him, he's not like an, you know, his character is almost anti-smart indie fan. I don't know. I want them all to... you know what? The answer is to have another big company, but not attached to WWE. And then hopefully that will create competition. And a lot of these guys will be like, "I'm not getting used here. I'll go over there."
And that's the way it worked in the Monday Night Wars. It was always just like, "I can earn more money over here. Or I'm getting better opportunities over here. I'm not being used correctly over here. I'm going to go elsewhere." And, you know, and the case is that they could ask for their release and try their opportunity on the indies. It has worked for Cody, but can you say the same for 100 other guys that have tried to do it?
Jack Swagger.
Ryback. Yeah, exactly. All these guys that thought, "I had a big time, I was a big name in WWE, or big-ish name in WWE," Ryback certainly was, "and I can easily get bookings elsewhere." And they haven't, and they've just sort of like fizzled off into obscurity. So there is, you almost do have to like, can I take that opportunity? I don't think opening up another brand is an option. You say we don't need lengthy Raws and lengthy pay-per-views, and you're right. The last thing we need also is another TV show. Now they've announced NXT UK. There's four TV shows that happen on Wednesday nights alone. So yeah, I don't think we need another brand opening up. So, and but I don't want to see guys lose their jobs. It's a difficult one, and I don't think that them having a massive roster is really is an issue. It's just how you manage and use that roster. I think cycling out talent isn't always the worst thing.
Yeah, there's enough people. Maybe give the guys a holiday once in a while.
There it is. That's the answer right there. This comes in from the Dashing Dan. Now, he sent us an email that I think might have not so much offended you, but here we go. Hey guys, over the summer I asked your opinion on why Seth Rollins gets so much credit. Do you remember this? I have taken your opinions on board, and now I see your point. I went to the Raw taping in Seattle.
We are right.
I went to the Raw taping in Seattle, where Kevin Owens and Elias got mega heat, and his match against Drew was pretty good. It's taken a while, but you've convinced me. I now enjoy Rollins' performance more, so thank you. Now I have an even bigger challenge for you. Can you give me a reason to care about the Revival? At this taping of Raw I attended, I cheered when the B team beat them because I don't like seeing them win, and I'm glad they haven't been given the tag team titles. I see them as a pair of vanilla midgets. I hate that term so much. Hate it with a passion. Who aren't agile enough to be true cruiserweights, but are too small to be taken seriously as a contending tag team. The whole no flips, just fist gimmick really clearly isn't over with the fans, yet all I read is that they're one of the best tag teams in the world. Why? Because they have technical skills? So do Breezango. They are undeniably fine wrestlers, but they have a trainload of personality and charisma to go with it. I think talking about Breezango. Same goes for the B team. There can be no doubt that Bo and Curtis are fine wrestlers, but they connect with the fans. AOP look intimidating, and the Usos, the Bar, New Day, and even the Good Brothers are all really good wrestlers too, but yet the Revival still get this praise. It baffles me. Using the excuse that they have been booked badly by WWE can't cut it because Rusev Day are badly booked and they got over. Please enlighten me and the Swap Nation, because surely I cannot be the only one.
So they are a throwback act to a different age in tag team wrestling. That's why they're called the Revival. They're bringing that back as a Revival. And I am a huge, huge fan of that style of tag team wrestling, which is just cut the ring in two, work over a guy, pick apart body parts. It's great psychology-wise. And I know, so there's the Rusev Day argument, but the Rusev Day got over in spite of WWE. Mm-hmm. It didn't get over because of WWE. But I guess that plays into your point, actually. The Revival have been really, really badly treated on the main roster. The best answer to this is NXT. Just go back and watch their feuds with Authors of Pain and DIY.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just fire up your WWE network and look at their series they had with DIY. And that, like, and you'll just be, you'll watch them and be like, oh, this is why everyone thought they were the best tag team, or one of the best tag teams in the world, because they were so good. They are incredible storytellers in the ring. They know how to use this throwback style in a modern day setting, which is very difficult to do and get over with a crowd that are so used to big flip-de-doos and whatnot in, you know, outside the ring. And they work that to their advantage. And it creates these amazing, amazing matches. Their match with DIY at TakeOver Toronto is absolutely exceptional. It's like a 5-star match. It's so, so good. And the triple threat at TakeOver, not New Orleans, was the one before that.
Dallas.
Maybe, and it wasn't Dallas.
Chicago.
Whichever one it was. It was the one.
Philadelphia.
It was the triple threat with AOP and DIY. Like, that match is absolutely incredible. And it works so well as, like, the final chapter of that feud they had with DIY. So, yeah, that's what I would say, is fire up your network.
If I only saw the Revival on Raw,
yeah,
that I'd think the exact same thing as you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the reason we love them is because we know what they can do.
Yes. And one last question comes in from James J. Dillon. This mailbag challenge expands on the topic of wrestlers you like using finishers you hate. A noted example being Bayley's belly-to-belly suplex. So your task is to pick one current wrestler you like in any promotion, male or female, whose finisher you truly dislike. The challenge is to replace that unliked finisher with a better one that is more impactful or suits the wrestler's character better. My choice would be Nia Jax. She hasn't really settled on a finisher that suits her, and the one she has used, the Samoan drop or standing leg drop, pretty disappointing for someone described as the irresistible force. I would give a Sara Del Rey's Royal Butterfly as a finisher. A savage looking butterfly hold transitioned into a toss butterfly suplex. Performing this on smaller opponents would look great and make Nia look really strong. Thank you. Thanks again for the consistent rambling.
Cesaro uppercut.
There you go.
Your turn.
Oh, damn it. I was trying to think of finishers that I really don't like. Controversially, I'm not a fan of the Rainmaker. Yeah. I'm also actually, and actually, no, I'm not.
You want him to use the camel clutch?
Yes, of course, because he's a foreign heel. No, I'm actually going to change that though. I'm going to change it to. I'm gonna say the one winged angel, because I thought
we turned the corner on this. We like it now.
No, you turned a corner on this. Just because you turned a corner on it doesn't mean everyone else did.
It's contrived to get them up there.
Yeah,
because they have to help you a lot to take that move on themselves.
It looks. I think it looks too. I hate to use the term phony.
Yeah,
but you're right. Like it requires too much of the other person. Like the Canadian,
and you can't hit it on anyone.
No, the Canadian Destroyer is a move where your opponent has to do just as much work as you do. However, it always looks like PT is the one that's doing the move, not the other guys doing the move on themselves. So I'm going to say the One Winged Angel, and I almost like, because I think a lot of Omega's stuff is strike based. So I almost want like another striking finisher. I'd almost think like the V trigger or like.
V-trigger's a pick-and-apart move. Just V-trigger, V-trigger, V-trigger.
Well, what I really like is when he does the knees to the face. You grab both arms and you just bring the...
Very close to Ibushi's finisher.
I know, but you can work that into stories with the Golden Elite. So I don't have an answer for what I would change it to, but I do not like the one-winged angel. So anyway, thank you so much for your mailbag questions. We'll have more of those next week. A Poetry Corner submission.
I always want a Poetry Corner submission, although we should point out we are a bit stretched for time today, which is why the intro was a bit short and the outro will be similarly half the length,
this,
as usual.
Well, that's why I'm trying to get on. This is from Emma Healy. Hi, Luke and Ollie. While I still have very little knowledge in writing them, I felt inspired after this week's episode of Raw, or last week, depending on when you read this. So it was sent 13 days ago, so it was actually 2 weeks ago, to write a poem. It's a little different to my usual forte of cheesy, cringe-worthy work, but I hope you like it all the same.
Oh, serious one.
When I first emailed you a few months ago, I mentioned I was looking to join a writing group. Sadly, I still haven't found one that is flexible to fit around my day-to-day job, but I found a nice little community on Facebook who have been very helpful and given me tips and pointers. Off the back of this, have started up my blog, mostly about WWE fantasy booking scenarios, to help boost my skills, and looking into signing up to an open university course to gain a qualification within the field of creative or journalistic writing. Fantastic. Well done, you, Emma.
Well done, Emma.
Side note, I feel I should also mention, after watching your amazing lip sync battle, it has given me a newly acquired fiance. I guess my terrible poems worked after all. The idea to perform a choreographed first dance at our wedding. So thanks for that.
Ah. I mean, we do weddings and bar mitzvahs now. So if you need some entertainment, we're very,
absolutely,
very expensive. And all of that cost is actually on the Segway rental.
You pair never fail to make me smile. Keep up the consistent work. I love you. Goodbye. From fellow WrestleTalk.com writer Emma. So this is her poem. Maybe their words are true. Is it treason to tear down an empire? Help destroy that yard you proclaim. Align with the university that's sent to destroy. Every dog has their day, but do you even believe that anymore? Is it blasphemous to attack a holy man? Reclaim him not with a cross, but a chair. To burn down everything he tried so hard to rebuild. An architect of his own redesign. An eye for an eye. I should be angry. I should be livid. I should be living up to my namesake. After all, it's just a noise. Just a letter on a page. Just hurtful slander that echoes in my mind. But 9 months is a long time to wonder where my brothers are. Maybe their words are true.
Deenie.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Nia Jax and Ember Moon is where I was going initially. Yeah.
I mean, it's so beautifully vague. Yeah. You could interpret it in many different ways.
Could be the Bellas. Yeah. Against Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, like there was no real clues to who that was about.
No,
yeah, that's
not,
what
yeah.
I like about it.
I don't really know many empires in the world wrestling entertainment.
Did they say university at one point? I was confused about that line.
Oh, I've deleted the email now.
Do you do it that quickly?
I've got to try and find the next email.
Ruthless. You're almost as savage as that punishment, which are the most savage on YouTube.
There is our last email for this episode. It is a Rusev Hey. And it is from the mayor of Painesville. It's from the real Dan's Dan. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Dan!
It's from Dan. Hey, Luke, Ollie. Well, here's what we've got here. This is great. Because he's trying to be so inclusive. He's trying to name everyone here. So he's written here, hey, Luke, Ollie, Luke, Andy, James, everyone. Problem is, you put my name there twice.
Yeah.
Forgetting Laurie's name.
Hey, top marks. Top marks for trying.
It really was topmost for trying to get everyone in there.
Well done, Dan.
I finally have a Rusev hater share.
That is a classic, always the bridesmaid.
Do you want to take a guess at where he met this person as well?
Wrestling Media Con?
No.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about us. I thought it was going to be a nice email.
No.
Ah.
It was WXW.
WXW's obvious. Tournament thing then.
It was the WXW World Tag Team Tournament League 2018 after show party. It was a great party. I bet it wasn't because of the MediaCon one. And the incredible chant of Guns Bobby Guns was still echoing through the hallways of the venue. Of course, always the professional, Volta left the arena early, but most of the WXW roster was still in attendance. So was the new interim Unified World Wrestling Champion Ilya Dragunov. As he was making his way to the crop of people, he talked to the DJ. He asked for the song Real Men. What was coming? Backstreet Boys, Everybody. Now imagine a strong, mean Russian going wild to that song. Well, that happened. And not only that, a bunch of other wrestlers, including big, mean Dutch man Jern Simmons, joining in. Bizarro world indeed. That's my Rusev Hay. Best wishes, Dan.
Great.
Ilya Dragunov, terrifying Ilya Dragunov dancing to Everybody. Yeah.
He should come out to that.
Body. My friend, when he got married, he's one of four siblings, and him and his siblings did like the whole choreographed dance routine at their wedding because him and his brother in particular, his twin brother, are massive Backstreet Boy fans. Wow. Like, they would probably rival Zack Ryder in terms of being a Backstreet Boy fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, like, unironically.
Yeah.
I feel like wrestlers have two musical tastes, and that is AC/DC and Motorhead, or the cheesiest cheese pop.
Tell that to Jerry Lynn. He likes Napalm Death.
What's that?
That's like...
Is that Zack Sabre Jr.'s latest stretch submission?
Anyway, thank you so much for all your correspondence. We'll be back next week for the Raw review as we lead into Crown Jewel.
No, we won't. You'll be back with a Bound for Glory round.
Oh, that's right. I will. Yes, we'll be back with Bound for Glory on Monday. There might not be an intro and outro to it, but there will certainly be Bound for Glory chit chat. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.